Hey, speaking of life, we're going to start a series today called Life in the Spirit. And we're going to kick it off today with a sermon called Wisdom for Living. We're going to be looking at just one passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians to be our text. But before I do, we'll just have a little bit of fun. You know, I like to look and find illustrations for the messages. And I happened across the site that said The Wisdom of Will Rogers. Now, some of you remember Will Rogers, right? Yeah. And so I'll just share a couple of them with you today. Will Rogers was the one that was quoted as saying, never squat with your spurs on, right? It's a good one. He was the one that actually coined the phrase, letting the cat out of the bag is a whole lot easier than putting it back in, which is true. And then this was a saying. He said, after eating an entire bowl, a mountain lion felt so good that he started roaring. He kept it up until a hunter came along and shot him. The moral, Will Rogers said, is when you're full of bull, keep your mouth shut. How about this one? Never kick a cow chip on a hot day. That's pretty good. Yep. How about always drink upstream from the herd? Sounds like a front. Yep. The quickest way to double your money is to fold it over and put it back in your pocket. Yep, that's about right. Oh, guys, how about this one now? I hope you don't mind me saying this, women, but this was just from Will Rogers. It says, there are three kinds of men, one that learns by reading, the few who learn by observation, and the rest of them that have to pee on the electric fence for themselves. Yeah, that's good. And guys, while I'm on a roll, it says there are two times a man does not understand a woman, before marriage and after marriage. And lastly, any married man should forget his mistakes because there's no use in two people remembering the same thing. Hey, you know, we are supposed to learn by our mistakes, right? And we're supposed to mature and grow in wisdom. Someone said that we should count the day lost in which we do not learn some new thing. It sounds like a teacher that would have said that, don't you think, Tom? Yeah. And so here's a great little story to really kick off this message that by God's Spirit, we gain wisdom, we learn, we grow, which is His will. So the story goes that this young man in the Navy was an ensign, and he completed his first overseas cruise. He was given an opportunity then to display his newly learned capabilities by just getting the ship underway. And so he took charge. He started with a stream of commands. He had all the decks buzzing with men, and soon the ship was steaming out of the channel. En route to the States. It says his efficiency established a new record for getting a huge destroyer underway. And he was not surprised when a seaman approached him with a message from the captain, but he was surprised to find it was a radio message, and even more surprised to read from the captain, "My personal congratulations upon completing your underway preparation exercising according to the book and with amazing speed. In your haste, however, you overlooked one of the unwritten rules. Make sure the captain is aboard before getting underway." Hey, how many know that the Holy Spirit is our captain? Come on now. The Holy Spirit is the captain of our ship. I remember when we had a 1982 Toyota Tercel. And on the bumper sticker of that Tercel, I had a sticker that read, "God is my pilot. I'm the co-pilot." Right? Yeah. You know what I'm talking about today, right? God's guidance, God's leading, God's impartation of wisdom. That's what we're talking about today through His Spirit. So the text we're going to look at is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we'll start in verse 6 today. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, you can open your Bibles, we'll put it up on the screen. It's always good to even do both. So the Holy Spirit, we know, uses God's word to impart to us wisdom and guidance, right? The Holy Spirit is the one who inspired the written word of God, inspired men and women of God, right? And still does inspire. And this passage today will really help us understand God's desire to not only inspire, but to teach in a way that we can apply to our lives and grow, change and grow, and become more like Christ, more wise in our lives. Paul starts off this way. He says, "We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature." Do you read that, verse 6? Implying it takes maturity to be able to receive and apply the Word of God, right? The wisdom that is from God. He says it's not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. In other words, what God is speaking to us is not about a passing fad, right? It's not just something that men make up in trying to go with the flow of their culture. It's not the thoughts of worldly or earthly rulers who are just trying to make a name for themselves but will ultimately come to nothing. No, he says, verse 7, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. Paul calls this wisdom secret, a wisdom that has been hidden like a mystery unfolded. You know about mysteries, right? You know the mystery of why a 2-pound box of chocolate can make you gain 5 pounds? Come on now. How about the mystery of why leaving clothes in your closet for over 5 years makes them shrink? Some got that, yeah? How about why the mystery of why bills travel at twice the speed of checks, right? And of course, the mystery solved about black holes when the young child said, "Yeah, I know where black holes came from. God divided by zero." Okay, Paul calls this wisdom a hidden wisdom, but one that was destined by God for our glory. He speaks about a plan that was laid from the foundations of the earth. Does that sound familiar to anybody that know the scriptures? A plan that was laid from the foundations of the earth, but not revealed until the right time. Do you know God works like that? You know, when you really study about how God reveals things to us, you discover that God's revelation is progressive. Now, here's what I mean by that. He reveals what is appropriate at the time. He reveals what we need at the time, what we can handle at the time. Now, I know that you and I sometimes wish that He would lay the whole blueprint of our lives out, and we think that would make things a lot easier. But when you really take time to think about it, especially with God's wisdom, it's a good thing He doesn't do that, isn't it? Doesn't lay out the whole shooting match, every detail of our lives. There's reasons that He doesn't. He knows what we can handle and He knows what we need. And when we need it, His wisdom is imparted in that way. He waits until the appropriate times to reveal things. Things, it says, for our glory. Glory means the achievement of great potential. Glory is the realization of that potential that God says, you have, we have. It says, none of the rulers of this age, verse 8, understood it. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, the rulers here probably refer to the Jewish and the Roman authorities that plotted and executed the plan to crucify Jesus. But there also may be an implication here of the truth of the dark spiritual rulers behind human deviousness, even behind the crucifixion of Christ. The idea here is that this secret wisdom, the plan that was laid from the foundation of the earth, was hidden from them. For if not, they would have known whom Jesus was and would not have crucified him, knowing that his death would bring about forgiveness and life for all. And then Paul says this powerful, powerful verse. Now, I want you to really focus it on it today, verse 9. However it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. Paul actually pulls this as a quote out of the Old Testament to illustrate his point that God's good plan, a plan destined for our glory, for the glory that God had prepared for those who love Him, was not conceived in the minds of men, but prepared by God for those who would choose to love Him. The phrase, for those who love Him, also should sound familiar to you. We talked about it last week when we read Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, when we said God works all things together for the good of those who love Him. And we said that was the condition of the promise. Loving God is a prerequisite of us achieving the glory that He has destined for us. There's good reason for this. God speaks about a willingness on our part to come into right relationship with Him, a willingness on our part to open up our hearts and receive His love for us, that we also then, as the Scriptures say, may love Him back. We love because He first loved us. So Paul is saying that, listen, that in the world, there's no human ear that in of itself has heard, or any mind, human mind that's conceived of all the good that God has prepared for those that love Him. But, now here's the but. Now look at the but. Not your but this but. This wonderful but says, of all that glory, of all that normal human people can't conceive, now, God, it says, but God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. So the verse, if you just now flow it together, says, you know, no eye has seen, no ear heard, no mind conceived of the things that God has prepared for those who love Him, but God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. And I want you to understand the power of what Paul is saying. Because in truth, the reason people don't become Christians is that they don't perceive the wonderful benefits of being a Christian. It's blind to them. It says what the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers that they cannot see. Because if they could, what would happen? There isn't a person in their right mind that would not come to God in faith of Christ, be forgiven and enter into this not only right relationship with God, but this revelation of God, of who we are in Him and what He's destined for us, what His purpose is for all of us. If people can see this, if people could have this revealed, there isn't a sane person in the world that would not want it because of how good it is. I know and you know that Christianity has really been tried to be dragged through the mud through the ages, tried to be downplayed, tried to be looked at as if something not to be desired. And we clearly see that that certainly is the plan of the enemy, who uses lies to blind the minds of unbelievers to the truth. But for us, God wants to reveal to us His goodness, His plan for us, this glory that's referred to. And He does that by His Spirit. By His Spirit. The revelation of what God has prepared for you, for those who love Him, is revealed to you by His Holy Spirit. The Spirit whom Jesus would be sent into the hearts of all who received Him as Lord and Savior. The Spirit that Jesus spoke about when He walked upon the earth before His crucifixion, the same Spirit that He called the Spirit of Truth, saying the world cannot accept Him in John chapter 14. It doesn't see Him or know Him, but you know Him, He says, the Spirit of Truth. He lives with you, He said, and lives in you. The Counselor, He says, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, will teach you all things. He's the great teacher, the Spirit of Truth. Jesus said He'll guide you into all truth. He'll bring glory, He said to Me, by taking from what is Mine and make it known to you. This is revelation. This is God's will. This is how He wants you to grow, to mature, by His Spirit. You have God's Spirit. You have the means to attain wisdom, to mature and grow in your faith and become like Christ, to more and more become closer to that glory that He has predestined for those who love Him. He says the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. You know, I don't care how long you've been a Christian, there is so much more of God to know. So much more. I really believe even when we enter heaven itself, the learning will just begin again. I really believe that every day in heaven will be better than the day before, because God will reveal more of Himself to you then. And every day will be better than the day before. But the truth is that God wants that to be the case now for us, as we grow in the knowledge of Him. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. Paul helps us understand that God's Spirit is pervasive. He's an all-knowing God. That the Holy Spirit is God's Spirit, and therefore is intimately connected to the mind of God, just as our spirits are connected to our mind. And he goes on to say this. He says, "For who among men," verse 11, "knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God." Paul makes the point. Hey, when we think thoughts in our mind, they're private to us, to our spirit. The same is true of God. God's Spirit alone knows His thoughts, so only God's Spirit can reveal those thoughts. I ended last week with saying how powerful it was for me to hear the voice of God saying, "He thinks about me." You remember when I talked about how Kim was saying those words and God's, remember? The thoughts God has about you, the thoughts God has for you and for your life, He desires to reveal to you. But you know this thing, this truth of God, He reveals them to those who seek Him. You have to come to know that truth if you want to grow in God and grow in the revelation of who He is and who you are and who you're destined to be, His purpose for your life. You have to know that He rewards those who diligently seek Him. He is a rewarder, Hebrews says, of those who diligently seek Him. He's here. He lives in you. Now, what you do with that presence, it's up to you. He says, we've not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is of God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you can come to understand. He wants to turn the lights on in your life to who you are and what God's will is for you. What God has freely given you. You see, one of the things that we today need to come to understand is how great the blessings of God are in us and for us. There are things that block you from understanding how greatly blessed you are in God, in Christ. When you receive God's Spirit, He wants you to come to understand what God has freely given you and the plan He has for you. In Romans chapter 8, Paul reiterates this same kind of truth when he says, the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirits. Did you ever have that happen? You know what I'm talking about? Come on. Did you ever have that happen when God's Spirit testifies with your spirit? It's that sense that you have that you've been inspired by God. You remember when you told me that? And you knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that this is it. His Spirit testifies with our spirit. He says that we're God's children. Now, if we're children, we're heirs, he says, heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ. He says, I consider that our present sufferings are nothing worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the sons and daughters of God to be revealed, for us to grab it and begin to walk in it, who we are. As Paul says, this is why we speak, Christians, mature Christians, apostles, teachers, this is why we speak, not with words taught to us by human wisdom, but in words taught to us by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. Paul is saying that he is one being used by God to speak forth the truths of God into people's lives, that they too may have this impartation of wisdom and revelation by the great tutor, the Holy Spirit. He tells us, just point blank, he says, don't be a surprise. Now he says, the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him. He cannot understand them because they're spiritually discerned. That the only way to understand the plan of God is to get in tune with God, to be right with Him. So if you have not accepted Christ, you've not received His Spirit within you. And to those that have not yet, the plan of salvation can seem foolish. The spiritual truths that go along with it, foolish. Because they're understood, discerned through the revelation of God's Spirit. But now, when you are saved, and you have received God's Spirit, he says in verse 15, the spiritual man makes judgments about all things. Judgments about all things. You know what that means? That means every day you can go through a process of making decisions that are truly inspired by God, directed by Him. When we live in the Spirit, we discern and decide about all that we hear and see. Even in the world, we discern and decide correctly, that we're not led astray. The Bible says in the last days, even some Christians can be led astray by mistruths, half-truths, and lies, being deceived. But not you, he says, when you learn to tune into God's Spirit for your life. When we live in God's Spirit, we discern. It's a gift of the Spirit, discernment. We discern all things that are going on in our lives. We discern it correctly through faith. Even if that way is contrary to what others without God's Spirit think? Huh? You know, I believe in counseling. And I really believe in Christian counseling. And I believe that there is a decided difference between going to a Christian counselor and going to a non-Christian counselor. If you want direction for your life, you better be talking to somebody who is connected to the Spirit of God. Amen? And ultimately, what you want to, where you want to get to is to be able to hear yourself from the Spirit of God, right? As you grow and mature. Yeah, you got to watch just by listening to everything you hear from people without the Holy Spirit, right? You know, people go through this life trying to please other people without trying to please God, right? Winston Churchill, I like what he said, an appeaser is one who feeds a crocodile hoping it'll eat him last. Did you get that one? Paul says, who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. Wow. Again, this is a tie back to an Old Testament passage. To remember that otherwise no one can know what God thinks and be instructed by God this way unless the Spirit of God is in them. And unless that person, you and me, begin to hear correctly the inspiration of God, receive God's thoughts, know the mind of Christ, just as Jesus said, we could through the Holy Spirit. We have the mind of Christ. His mind, His thoughts are made known to us by the Holy Spirit. It's an impartation from Him to us. And over time, progressively, as we walk with Him, we learn more and more how to hear that inspiration, that impartation of God. How many of you remember the ancient, beautiful hymn in the garden? Right? What does it say? And He walks with me. And He talks with me. And He tells me. You know, try singing that song to somebody that's not a Christian. And it'll only be words. Instead of what it really is, a powerful spiritual truth about the God of the whole universe being so intimately connected with you, you with Him, that He does walk with you and talk with you, guiding you, leading you, helping you grow, mature, get strong, become. Now, I got to tell you that Paul was a practical man as well, very deep and spiritual, but practical. And he goes on, you know, in the Bible there weren't originally chapters, even verses. It was a letter, right? And so now as you flow into chapter 13, it really was just a continuation of Paul's thought when he says to them, you know, I wish I could address you as spiritual, but I can't. You're worldly. You're like infants in Christ. He says, I gave you milk, not solid food, because you weren't ready yet for it. And he says, you're still not ready. You're still not ready. You're still worldly. Why? How do I know that? He says, because there's jealousy and quarreling among you. Aren't you worldly? Aren't you acting like mere men? You see, Paul's applying this truth that we're talking about today, pointing out that the current actions of some in the Corinthian church were a sign that they weren't hearing from God and following His thoughts and guidance as they would if they were mature. As they would if they had come to hear and receive and follow God's guidance, His wisdom, His plan. Paul knew that as baby Christians, new to the faith, that he can only give them at first, you know, some baby's milk. The beginnings of God's plan, the fundamentals, the foundation. And they should have received that and wanted more. Don't you want more? Don't you want more in your life than just knowing you're saved? As if that's just like, okay, I got my ticket, I'm good to go. There's so much more to the plan of God. They were still worldly. In what way? In this case, they were operating out of jealousy and fighting. All right, there's a story about a small town merchant who just was consumed with envy toward his number one competitor, another business. And so one day he's walking around along the beach and he finds this bottle, right? You hope you know where this is going. He opens the bottle and a puff, out comes a genie. And the genie looked at this merchant and said, I've been locked up in this bottle for 3,000 years, so I want to give you 3 wishes for setting me free. However, the catch is I must warn you, whatever I give you, I must give double to the person that you are most jealous of. The man thought for a moment and said, okay, my first wish is for $100 million. Genie said, okay, but I'll have to give $200 million to the person that you envy most. Okay, that's all right. Okay, Genie said, done. Merchant said, what's your next one? I want you to make my wife beautiful. Mine's already beautiful. I want you to know that. But the guy says this, and the genie says, well, okay, but I'll have to make the wife of the person you envy twice as beautiful. All right, the guy said. And the genie said, okay, what's your third wish? He said, okay, for my third wish, I want you to beat me half to death. Huh. Is this killed? Testing.
1, 2.
So listen. When we're jealous, you know what's happening? We feel threatened by what somebody else has, right? Right? It causes us to act irrational, ruins relationships, right? It's really about not knowing who you are. It's an expression of inferiority, right? Come on. Comparison, you know, what a terrible thing, comparison. I mean, I envy old Adam and Eve, you know. They never had to compare themselves to anybody, did they? Comparison is such a terrible thing. And you know, the devil uses it, doesn't he? He really, really does. Hey, there's always going to be someone better, more successful, more talented, smarter, richer, whatever, than you. Bible teaches that comparing ourselves or what we have to someone else is foolish. The opposite of wisdom, right? But Paul's point is this. He says, the implication is, I can tell you're not growing because of the way you're acting. I can tell you're not growing spiritually. You're not maturing because I can see it. The implication is if they were growing, if they were more spiritual, more led by the Spirit of God, they would be more changed by the Spirit of God. They'd risen above it. They'd be moving on in God's plan for them. What God desires for them to grow, mature, change, rightly able to divide the word of truth, to hear from God, to apply it, to live above the fray of the world and its pettiness. Huh? Isn't that what God wants for you? To be such a great testimony to Him, overcoming things like jealousy and fighting with one another. Why? Because you're hearing from God. You're seeing clearly. You're getting strong in the faith. You're not letting yourself be dragged down or dragged into foolish arguments and jealousies and all the like. But instead, You're learning to live in God's Spirit, which is our series, Living by God's Spirit, with a clear sense of mission and purpose. Really starting to have the right goals and priorities in your life. Not letting the small stuff become the big stuff. Huh? Not fretting over issues related to your protection and provision because you know God is your protector and your provider. Amen? You trust and obey. Because there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. Doing what is right, even when it's hard, right? And sometimes it is hard to do what's right in today's world. It's like the guy that I read sent the IRS a check for $500 and said, "A while back I failed to report some income to you and I'm having some trouble sleeping. So here's my check for $500. If I still can't sleep, I'll send the rest." Growth, huh? We need to understand that the measurement of our spiritual growth is the way we think and act and talk, right? The last words of the Apostle Peter in the Bible are this. He said, "Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." That word grow, it means to become more fruitful, to become greater, more like Christ, which is God's will for every one of us. God doesn't want us to remain in the same condition year after year, right? What is the definition of insanity? Come on. Doing the same thing and expecting different results. So what are you going to do this year to grow in God? Not just the same thing, huh? There's so much more. That's the message, isn't there? There's so much more. So much more growing to do. So much more wisdom for living that God wants to reveal to us. Hey, you know what I'm learning? Age is a very big price to pay unless it comes along with wisdom. Come on. Some of you can relate to that, right? Yeah. So are your current actions indicating that you're hearing from God and growing? That you're acting out of guidance from His Spirit? That you're rising above the pettiness that others get trapped in? And that you're growing in God's grace. How? By God, seeking Him. By His Word, reading it. From His Spirit, giving you the revelation of it that applies to your life. There's a word that I really believe that I heard from the Lord as I was finishing the sermon, and the word was impartation. Have you ever heard that word before? Impartation. I really believe that God wants to impart to you today more of His Spirit, more of His wisdom. And I just want to close with an opportunity for that to happen.